Hello, and welcome to Stronger Together,
a podcast about strength, wellness, and navigating the hard things.
I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're yoga and mindfulness instructors who know that the path to wellness isn't easy.
And it's even harder without community.
We're here to offer real conversations,
raw and honest moments,
and to remind you that you're never alone.
So make yourself comfy.
And let's do it.
Because we are all stronger together. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Have you ever thought or said, I feel like a failure? Us too. Today, we're talking about when your best still isn't good enough. But let's start with taking a deep breath. Breathe in. And out. Hey, Char.
Hey, Les.
I'm happy to see you.
Same here with our new microphones and our new sound quality.
We feel and sound good.
Very excited. So this topic, I was like, as soon as you sent me this idea, mm-hmm. I was like, this sounds so great. And there's so much meat to this episode. So I cannot wait.
Yeah. This is something that I guess has been like kind of in my heart all school year, because I have been living this feeling of what it's like to be teaching when it feels like my best isn't good enough. And I know that collectively a lot of educators across the country, and I'm sure beyond the United States, are feeling that as well.
Is it a conversation that you have with fellow educators, that everybody just kind of feels this energy of what I'm doing isn't good enough?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. And I don't, you know, maybe not everybody's wording it in that way, but why is this year so hard? Why isn't what I'm doing in the past working? You know, if I'm using best practices, why does everything still feel so challenging?
Yeah.
Essentially, the sentiment of why is my best feel like it's not good enough?
Yeah.
So then it's like, what does it even mean to do your best?
So mm-hmm. I was wondering, like, in terms of you feeling this energy when you're teaching, how does that show up for you? So is it like your students aren't getting certain grades and that makes you feel like you are not succeeding? Like, how does that feeling manifest for you?
That's a great question. I think it's multifaceted. It's kind of like, I'm not grade oriented at all. I'm much more process oriented. So it might feel like, why aren't they getting this yet? We have been teaching this concept over and over, and they're still really struggling with it. So, okay, what do? We're going to go back to the drawing board. We're going to try this technique. They're still not getting it. We're going to try this technique. Oh my gosh, they're still not getting it.
Yeah.
But for me personally, I don't know how other educators are feeling right now, but for me personally, what's been really daunting is the lack of, it's literally June right now. Yeah. There's 11 days of school left, and they're still struggling to follow routines and to show up as learners and to exhibit the behaviors that promote learning and the things that I, as a mindful classroom, prioritize from day one, they are still really struggling with. Mm-hmm. So I can easily feel like, oh my gosh, I feel like a failure.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example, right? So in the classroom, I'm teaching all of these things in isolation, social and emotional learning. We get to practice them all the time. And then in the hallway, they're erupting in fights, or they're having conflict on the playground, or they're, you know, the moment they leave, there's no generalization of the skill. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's not for all the learners, right? And that's the problem with when your best doesn't feel like it's good enough, is it's really easy to focus on what's not going well.
Yeah.
Completely forget to look at, hold on, what is going well? And I know we're going to get into that, but so I'm making these overgeneralizations right now, and 100% not everything I'm saying relates to every learner in my classroom. Mm-hmm. But there's this overall sentiment of, why are the kids struggling so much? Why is there this atmosphere of disrespect? Why are we not feeling like we're on the same team, right? Like, I've been doing this. This is my 28th year. This is not my first rodeo. So like, I can really compare and I can look at trends. And this year feels like, what's happening? Like, what else can I possibly do that I'm not already doing or haven't already tried?
Yeah. And it's interesting that you have all of these years of experience to compare, mm-hmm. which just shows us that it's not you. Mm. It's not what you're teaching that isn't landing with them. It's something else is going on, something external. Maybe it's the effects of the last few years of growing up during the peak COVID years. Who knows? But it really sounds like there are external factors that are contributing to them not being able to take those skills and run with them like your other students have in the past.
Right. Yeah. And then that leaves us feeling defeated, less than, very emotionally and physically drained. You know, so things that normally feel easeful and fun, you know, can feel chore-like.
Yeah.
Because it's this constant like, okay, I'm going to keep showing up. Oh, wait, that didn't work. Let me raise the bar. Oh, wait, that still didn't work. Let me try harder. Oh,
yeah.
So it's like, where does it end? You know, it feels like this is my best. So if this is my best, can I do better than my best?
Yeah, which is, that's the question.
Yeah.
And I remember you saying in a previous episode that that is a question that you ask your students. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, no, I can't. Yes, I can. And it takes them a while to actually think about the answer to that question because it's a complicated one.
Right. So we say, can you do better than your best? We start this off very early in the school year and they do exactly what you said. And then the answer is, wait, no. Somebody always gets to that. No, if your best is your best, then how can you do better? And then we say, you're right. You can't do better than your best, but your best changes. Your best changes when you grow and acquire more tools, when you become more mindful, when you learn about yourself, when your self-awareness increases, all of those things, when you mature. So your best will grow with you.
And I love that.
But no, you can't do better than your best. So if I'm doing my best right now and it's still not working, does that really make me a failure?
Exactly. In my opinion, no. Hearing you say that, absolutely not.
I don't want people to think this episode is just about education. I know we wanted to talk about a lot of areas in life where we feel inadequate due to factors beyond our control, right?
Yeah.
And let's talk about a few.
Yeah, I think there are really three kind of ones that a lot of people can resonate with. Mm-hmm. With the first one being relationships.
Yeah.
So we hear all the time people say, I feel like I've failed in my relationship. Maybe we're with a person in a romantic relationship and we're just giving everything that we have and we're going to therapy, we're doing the counseling, we're doing all of that work and the relationship still just isn't right. And the fact of the matter is, not all relationships are the end all be all. Breakups, dissolution of relationships, they happen. And it's because people aren't always meant to be in our lives forever.
Right.
Sometimes people are just in our lives for a certain season and they're there to teach us things. And so I felt like this myself, but I understand why it feels like I failed, but we have to realize that we didn't fail.
Yeah, I think that we've attached an expectation to what the final outcome of that relationship is going to be or what that relationship should look like, what it should feel like. And then we put ourselves into this box. And then if it doesn't look the way that we kind of paint the picture, you know, that we painted, then we attach this idea of failure to it.
Exactly.
Oh, it didn't work out. Oh, yeah, right. Maybe not. But maybe it worked out exactly the way that it was supposed to. And it was supposed, you know, we're not getting the rule book when we start a new relationship. Like when I think back to, you know, the man that I thought I was going to marry before I actually met my husband, you know, I thought my life was going to look so differently. So I think that there's the sense of, you know, in like the Buddhist tradition, like expectation is the root of all suffering. Like in some way we are creating our own suffering by attaching these rules and expectations to our relationships and to so many other things in life. I mean, I'm doing it right now in my classroom.
Yeah.
I'm expecting by June, I expect you all to know this, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a fair expectation on my part. But just like you said, maybe this year it's not. Maybe it's an unfair expectation that I have placed that has caused me so much stress.
Yeah. And I think what's interesting about expectations is there's a lot of like, if we expect something to go a certain way, it's not a surprise if it happens because that's our expectation. Like if we expect that it's going to be sunny out, when it's sunny out, it's like, okay, it's sunny. That's what I expected. But if it's rainy, it's raining. I thought it was going to be sunny. So there's not even this opportunity for celebration with expectation. It's either, all right, that's what I thought was going to happen, or it's, why didn't it happen that way? If we eliminate expectation completely, we have the opportunity to celebrate, to be surprised, to be elated, to feel that excitement. And we won't get as hit if it doesn't go a certain way. Mm-hmm. So that was just like an interesting thing that I was thinking about when preparing for the episode. Whereas like there are so many reasons not to expect or to try our best not to have expectations, and it's so much easier said than done. But it's so much easier done when we practice it.
Right. Exactly. It's so funny. I took a workshop today at school, and the woman said, children don't learn what you teach them. They learn what they practice. And when you said that, it just kind of reminded me of that, right? So like, what are we practicing in our relationships? A lot of times what we're practicing is kind of just reiterating our expectation for the other person.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, instead of perhaps saying, you know, maybe these expectations are hurting me. Maybe the expectations I put on myself or our relationship are harmful.
Mm-hmm.
I have had this happen because I'm a co-teacher, right? So I'm always working with somebody very intimately. I have had relationships with co-teachers in the past that I expected to be dynamic and amazing.
Yeah.
They weren't. You know, I've been doing this for a long time. I've worked with a lot of people. And sometimes it's like, I think this is going to be great. This is going to be amazing. And then there are so many factors in play. And the truth of the matter is that not every general ed teacher wants to be a co-teacher in an inclusion setting. And back in kind of like my sophomoric days, the immature side of me, that I would like be personally offended by that. Like, yeah. How can you not all want to do this? This is the best job ever.
Mm-hmm.
How unfair of me to place that expectation on other people, right? You don't have to want to do this,
right?
That doesn't define you as like that. You can still be an amazing teacher and not have an interest in working with somebody else and, you know, and working in an inclusive classroom. So I know how hurtful it has been for me in the past when a work relationship doesn't go as expected.
Yeah. There are so many expectations that just take away enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to feel disappointed when you're at work. Like, it's so hard not to take that personally, but it's so hard to take that personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, what if I just said, you know what, hey, I'm going into this and this might be a shit show, and that's okay. And I'm just going to try my best. And I'm sure this person's going to try their best. And we're going to see, are the kids learning in any way? And if I'm redefining success in that relationship and maybe decreasing the timeline that I think we have to be together, it doesn't have to be my forever partner.
Right.
Although my current partner I've been with for like 20 years together. So, but you know, in addition to him, there have been times that I have been co-teaching with him and like three other people at the time, which is, yeah, it's a lot to manage.
Yeah.
I know that not everybody that listens to the podcast is in education, but there are a lot of people who are in their job and in their communities and in their lives, they're managing many, many relationships with many people. So, mm-hmm. And I think we all want it to work out. We all want all of our relationships to work out, right? Doesn't that, 'cause that's what feels good. But I'm a good friend. Why isn't this friendship working? But yeah. I'm a good girlfriend. Why isn't this relationship working, right? I'm a great co-teacher. Why isn't this working? Who said it had to?
Mic drop, mic off. Like, who said it had to? That's such a good question. Relationships are so complex and they don't have to be. Like, if we just eliminate that barrier of needing them to be a certain way or needing the outcome to be a certain outcome, whether it's marriage or whether it's best friendship, like if we just eliminate that and let things to organically happen, A, there's less pressure, which makes it more enjoyable, because when we remove the pressure, things are just more exciting.
Yeah, that's so true.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And B, we don't have that deeper sense of like, I failed. I did my best and it's still not good enough. I'm not XYZ. Like, that just goes out the window.
It just, and because when we don't practice that, it just causes so much pain. It's so funny that we're having this conversation today, right? Like, universally, it just fits, because in addition to the meeting I referenced earlier, we had another meeting after school and we were having some difficult conversations, kind of a lot about the why are our learners struggling so much this year? And before we broke out into our groups to have these difficult conversations, the quote on the board said, difficult conversations are only difficult if we make them so.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was thinking about like how much as humans, we overcomplicate things. Yeah. We overcomplicate things through our expectations of others. And that really ends in a lot of pain and suffering.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
So let's move on to health, shall we?
Yes, we shall.
I'm struggling to breathe with this 195 air quality index today.
After all that you've just been through recently last month.
Yeah. This is a trip, right?
Yeah.
I can say that I felt this hardcore. I felt this feeling of like doing everything I could to stay well and still not being good enough.
Yeah.
And then being so sick and doing everything within my power to get better on my timeline. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's the expectation again.
Yep.
I could be better in 3 to 5 days. Well, my body had, and that virus had other plans for me. And, you know, I had this beautiful team of support people and health practitioners doing everything they could for me. And it didn't work right away.
I always find it so heartbreaking when talking to friends when they're not feeling well, when they're like, well, hopefully I'll just be better by Thursday and then we can do this. And then Thursday comes and they're worse than they were 2 days ago. So it's those little things that if we just catch ourselves being like, I'm putting an expectation on this, mm-hmm. it can really help.
Yeah.
And health is a really difficult one. And chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, you value your well-being.
Yeah.
And 100% of you listening to this have experienced some sort of being unwell, whether it's a cold or whether it's a chronic illness. Like, I know that we have all experienced being unwell. And this is one of the categories that I feel very strongly about. I think we all know that I have genetically high cholesterol, familial hypercholesterolemia. And for so long, I tried to manage this genetic condition with just diet and exercise. And I literally gave it my all. When I tell you I did my best plus more that I didn't even have in me, like I did it all. And still my levels were 2 times higher than the normal person. And there's such this aspect of there's something wrong with me. I failed. I'm not good enough. All of this negativity, because in my mind, every time I'm eating a vegetable, every time I'm on the treadmill, I'm like, I'm getting my cholesterol lower. The fact of the matter is, no, my liver is still pumping out cholesterol rapidly. And so there's this level of surrender that I've needed to learn and needed to feel in order to give myself grace. Because yes, I was doing my best and there's still a factor that's out of my control. Just like we were talking about you in education, you're doing your best and there are factors out of your control. You don't know what's going on in your students' lives. I know there's something going on in my liver. There's just something that we aren't able to contribute to. And that can stop us from reaching what we've expected to reach.
And I know, Char, when you were working so hard to manage your FH and along this journey, you know, what you were considering your best actually exhausted you, right? It brought you to
100%,
you know, depletion and perhaps, you know, impacted your health in other ways. And it was like, here you were trying, thinking that you were doing everything right. And feeling like a failure. It was almost like you were trying too hard.
Yeah.
And I felt like that when I was going through that illness, like I was trying too hard. And then I had to really go, oh my gosh, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
I have to surrender to this.
Yeah, it feels like control is a common theme here in this conversation. Like we, as humans, love control. We love to control the way to get there. And controlling. So recently I've learned to really kick back my expectation. When it comes to like health, and you were with me when I got my most recent blood test, and it was like the best numbers I've ever gotten in my life. And I really allowed myself to feel so much joy because there was no expectation, or maybe I expected it to be worse.
That's what I was just going to ask you.
Yeah, actually, probably.
So low.
Yeah. Since I've, quote unquote, failed so many times in my blood tests and my levels have always been higher than expected, getting finally a blood test with lower levels was this really pleasant surprise, like really, really pleasant surprise. So maybe I jumped the gun when I say that I've really let go of my expectations, because I don't think I actually have. I think it's really hard to do when it comes to health, especially somebody who's chronically ill.
And you're working toward it, right? Like, and conversations like this are really helpful. Like, mm-hmm. I always say, like, we're serving the community by this, but you and I are also like this poor, we kind of like, we get benefits from this because we have these aha moments through these conversations, and you're like, hold up a second.
The expectation's still there.
Maybe it's still there.
Yeah.
So I know for me also too, like I am definitely lowering my expectations because though in education, there's like a clear end to every school year. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Right.
We have 11 days left. I can't worry about this anymore. But mm-hmm. but in that surrender comes, I really did try my best.
Mm.
And when it came to your health, you really can say you tried your best. There was nothing else you could have done.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard with chronic illness. And I know we have a lot of listeners who have chronic illnesses, because I'm hearing you say, okay, I have 11 days yet. I mean, I have 11 days left. Like, what else am I going to do? There's this aspect of when you're chronically ill, it's for the rest of your life. So it's like, all right, I've got, I don't know, 40 years left, hopefully more. But but it can be exhausting to think like, I'm just going to throw my hands up and give away that control for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And if we can learn to do that just a little bit, there's a lot of freedom that can come with it.
Mm. I know that we have plans to talk either. I know the season is winding down, believe it or not, but if we can't do it this season, I know we've had requests for chronically ill conversations.
Yeah.
So we could maybe, we'll figure something out with that bonus episode or next season, or we'll, you know, but if I want people to know, if you're listening to this episode and you're like, wait, I want you to hear more about that. We promise.
Yeah, we'll get there. Absolutely. All right. Should we talk about career?
Let's do it.
So career is, again, one of those things, one of those categories where people just don't feel like they're doing their best, whether it's they're not getting a raise that they wanted to get, they're not getting a promotion that they expected to get, they're not hitting the sales that they wanted to hit.
No, moving through the ranks quickly is another one. Like,
right. You know. Yeah, it's really tough. Careers, there's a lot of pressure in careers. And you and I, you know, are both coming at this from different angles. Like, you working in education and me working for myself, there's different expectations that come with both of those types of work. And I know for me, like when I opened my first yoga studio for the longest time after COVID hit, and I lost the studio for the longest time, I was just like, I'm never opening another studio because I failed the first one.
Wow.
I've said that so many times. And every single time I've said that out loud to somebody, they've been like, what are you talking about? You did not fail. COVID hit.
Right.
Your studio was ripped away from you. And that is exactly what happened. But there's still this feeling of, if I only X, Y, Z, then it would still be thriving and I would still be in New York City and all of these, if this, then this, which just completely take you away from A, the present moment, and bring suffering, talk about suffering again, back into your being. And it's just, I did everything I could to grow that studio and make it successful, but it, something out of my control came in and swooped it and took it away from me.
And you also did everything you could to not close it, right? So
right.
When everything was at the height of the pandemic, when everything was so unknown, you did everything you could to try and hang in there.
Yeah.
And that was causing you a tremendous stress.
Yeah.
So many other small business owners out there, and especially in our field, we saw a lot of yoga studios have to close their doors, a lot of gyms, a lot of fitness boutiques. Like, it just, they couldn't do it. Like, everything that they were doing wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
Because we couldn't open.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a huge moment of, my best isn't good enough, because you 100% tried your best. You pivoted to a virtual studio almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And it was thriving. You know, you brought yoga outside. You tried to figure out what to do to, you know, try to make the rent work so you could, you know, stay there as a placeholder. Everything that so many people did, and that it still didn't work. It still didn't, yeah. Right? And that's a real, oh my God, I tried everything. I tried my best and I'm still closing these doors.
Yeah. It reminds me a lot, like the effort that I put into trying to keep the studio alive is the same effort that I put into trying to control my genetic condition naturally. And it's just like, you try so hard, you do everything that you can. And that at the end of the day, there is something that comes in from the outside, or in my case, in my body from the inside. And it just makes it impossible to reach what you thought you'd reach.
And in regards to relationships, as far as the dissolution of a romantic relationship, a friendship, a co-working relationship, or a marriage, there is this sense of course we want to do our best, right? Of course we want to do everything that we can. But then when that doesn't result in the relationship continuing to work, we can so easily forget or gloss over all of that hard work and all of those efforts because the outcome was painful, because the outcome still felt unfavorable. Mm-hmm. It's really easy for us to just look back over the time of that, the span of that relationship, and feel like the whole relationship was unsuccessful.
Right.
Just because the end was, whereas when we look back, that's not the case, right? Like, I'll just use my own parents, for example. My parents got divorced when I was an adult, and I've had conversations with my mom about, she goes, well, you know, the biggest success out of that relationship was you and your sister. Mm. So it's like, you know, we can, I know I've had many conversations with her. I am not going to pretend like I know what it feels like to go through a divorce, because I don't, but I went through it with my parents, and, you know, I have people that I love deeply who have gone through divorce. So, and supporting them through it. And very often, if you do have children in that marriage or that relationship, doesn't have to be marriage, that can be like an obvious success, right? Definitely. Being brought into the world. But there are certain relationships that come to an end that don't have a child, you know? So mm-hmm. It's like, can we go back? I have this one co-teaching relationship in mind. I worked with this particular person for several years, and it wasn't all difficult. Mm. Parts of it that were beautiful mm-hmm. and innovative and exciting. But when I look back at that relationship, I have to look really hard to find those positive moments.
Yeah.
I pretty much look at the end. I feel that in my heart and my body. I look at the end and I look at the dissolution of the relationship and how incredibly painful that was mm-hmm. and how incredibly hurtful that was for both of us. That's what I remember. So it's mm-hmm. like, I'm really trying to do the work to reframe this like totality or this finality of everything, right? Like, I'm only looking at the end result. No, what I really want to do is spend time taking a trip back and finding those moments, those positive moments, those moments that felt good and felt happy. And then I find that there's this little bit of a, you know what? It's okay that the relationship came to an end. It kind of what you said earlier, like, it worked for the season that it worked. Mm-hmm. There were some great things that happened, but I'm not going to call myself a failure here.
Yeah, you can't, because, I mean, you can, but it wouldn't be, you would be a good friend to yourself. But yeah, it's this work of, can we reframe our definition of success? And can we do that in relationships, just like you said? Can we find aspects of the relationship that were successful, whatever that means? Did we learn a skill? Did we learn how to stick up for ourselves? Did we have a child or a pet? Like, what things in that relationship were great? Mm-hmm. And can we do that with our health?
Yeah.
Can we maybe define success as surrendering? That's one that I love. If I can surrender to the fact that my health is out of my control, I have succeeded. Mm. Kind of meta. But also, can we do that in career? Like, maybe success is not getting the promotion. Maybe success is not hitting the $100,000 a month. That would be nice, but maybe it's not that. Maybe success in career is, I don't know, making meaningful relationships with coworkers. There's so many different ways that we can celebrate our best.
Right.
Instead of tear it down.
I have my end of year meeting coming up next week, I think, where I have to go back to to my goal that I set for the year for myself. And then, so we have like an you know, initial meeting and then an end of year meeting. And I was like, what the hell's my goal? Every year I forget my goal, which is not good, right? I want to keep that goal. So hold me accountable for this, because when I set my goal in September, I want to keep it somewhere visible and I want to reference it. I'm going to bring this out publicly. So holding myself accountable. But my goal this year, it took me a moment to remember, my goal this year was to allow things to be messy and to not be afraid to make mistakes. Did I tell you that?
You did. Yeah. I have it written down somewhere. I'm trying to remember where it is because you asked me to hold you accountable. So I wrote it down. LVB's yearly goal.
Wait,
I
have to, serious right now?
Yes. It's either in my notepad on my phone or in a notebook somewhere.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. And I, well, if this wasn't the freaking messiest school year I've ever had.
Yeah.
Check achieved.
Wow.
Yeah, I allowed myself to make mistakes and to try things, try new things. And so I'm like, wait, this school year was successful because I did the thing that I said that I was going to do. And that was hard for me. Changing the expectation, allowing myself to not be polished, right? And I realize that about myself, like my perfectionist side can come out really strong when it comes to my identity as a teacher.
Yeah.
And even today in that workshop, we were making resources and the facilitator, she was like, no, it doesn't have to be perfect. Like if you make a mistake, like cross it out. And my coworker was sitting next to me, who's a good friend. She goes, this is going to be hard for you. It already is.
Yeah. You know yourself.
I do it. I wanted to redo the whole thing and I wanted to be perfect. So like for me to set a goal like that, like to allow myself to make mistakes and to get messy, that already should be, the fact that I set that goal so far outside of my comfort zone should be a measure of success.
Yes.
Right. But then here I am ruminating over what's not going well instead of acknowledging what did go well. And then maybe I have to redefine success, what success looks like along the way.
Yeah.
So that there's these benchmarks that, you know, these benchmarks of what feels good instead of just this final outcome.
Yeah. And how nice would that be to have benchmarks to just reinstate that in our minds? Like, this is success. This is success. This is success. So we don't get wrapped up in those expectations that probably will never happen.
Right. And then the biggest reframe of them all is doing your best is success.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
If you did your best, you succeeded.
Yes.
And that's where we have to have, you know, we have to land that in our heart somewhere. We have to allow that to become part of the fabric of who we are. But we don't want to be messy. We don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to make mistakes. Like that makes us feel unsuccessful.
Right.
So conversations like these are so important.
Yeah. And I love what you said in the beginning too, and what you remind your students that you can't do better than your best. You can't do better than your best, but your best changes.
Your best changes. We grow, we gain tools. And I think this idea of accountability and support with each other is so, so important. So if you're setting any goals for yourself, sure, I will hold them in my heart.
Oh, thank you.
Hold you accountable. And same thing for you, listeners, Stronger Together family. If you want to email us or DM us a goal, we will support your effort, which is supporting your success towards.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to hear some of those.
Me too.
And I also want to know if you listeners have any redefinitions for success, like, or if there are any other categories, like we talked about relationships, career, and health, but if there are any other categories that you might feel like your best isn't good enough and what ways that you can reframe your thinking around them.
Absolutely. I love that. And let's like add to this tool bank, right? So that our best changes as we acquire new tools, we have this space to look back to. And I think that this to me, just the aha moments you and I have had literally recording this to me feels like an episode that we need to kind of bookmark and download and revisit, because we could talk about this till we are blue in the face. Something's going to go wrong and we're going to feel like we failed. We're going to feel good enough. And then it's like, oh, wait, hold on.
I have an episode for that.
There's an episode for that.
Yeah, it's so true.
I feel like this is just the beginning of hopefully what sounds like a supportive conversation. Hopefully it didn't sound, you know, minimizing in any way, because we know how hard life is, and we have navigated great struggle, you know, personally in support of each other, in support of a lot of our listeners. But knowing that the effort, the trying is the success.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody.
Take care.
Bye.
We hope you love that episode of Stronger Together.
And if you did, can you please share it with your friends and your family and your neighbors?
Yes, help us get this out there so that we can connect with more people.
And guess what? Spotify allows you to rate now. So if you're listening on Spotify, can you please rate for us? And yes. Apple Podcasts lets you review. So review.
5 stars on Spotify and tell us what you love about the podcast. We are so happy that you're part of this community.
We love you.